Now speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Dr. E.J. Muffley. Dr. Muffley is the only person now living in the Decatur area for whom a school has been named, the E.J. Muffley School on South Country Club Road. That's a real honor, Dr. Muffley. First, can you tell us something about your childhood?
Well, thank you, Ms. Turnell, and I'll try to give you a list of things that happened to me in my early childhood. I was born in Lexington, Illinois, in 1893, and my family moved to Joliet when I was about 3 years old, and my father was a guard at the penitentiary for about 4 years. I remember some of the things that happened, although I was just a young boy. I remember one day my father took us out to the penitentiary farm, and there we saw the cattle. And when they opened the gate to let the cattle through, it scared me, and I ran to my dad to hold his hand because I didn't know what a cow was. It was very interesting to me to see cows. We came back to Lexington, Illinois, when I was about 5 years old. We lived on a farm until I was about 16 years old. This was a wooded farm along the Mackinac River in McLean County. I enjoyed the wooded area and the wild animals and the trees. I spent many days wandering in the woods and up and down the Mackinac River, fishing in the Mackinac, and I learned to swim in the Mackinac River. Well, during my childhood, one of the jobs I had to do at home was to saw wood for our stoves. We had a stove in the kitchen that burned wood, and the heating stove burned wood. We didn't use coal out there on the farm. I started to school in a one-room country school where they had grades from 1 to 8. It was the Olive Branch School out about 5 miles west of Lexington. They only had one teacher, but some of the older students helped the younger students with their work. I remember one of the problems I had when I was about the third grade. I was trying to do my reading lesson, and I came to the word thus, T-H-U-S. Well, what does thus mean? What is that word? Well, I knew such words as them, this, there, there, such other words that spelled similar to thus, but I did not understand what the thus meant. And one of the older boys in the eighth grade explained to me what it was the meaning. That was the way the older boys could help, or they might help you with your arithmetic problems. In my years in the fifth grade, my family moved to another farm that was near Lexington, and I attended the Lexington Public Schools. This was about a mile out from town, and I walked to school every day. In those days, some of the boys wore knee pants, but older boys, my older brothers and some of the older boys, wore long trousers. I always wanted long trousers, like my father wore, but my mother would not buy them for me. Finally, when I was in eighth grade, she bought me a long pair of trousers. This was a happy day for me. I enjoyed having long pants and looking like a man. I graduated from the Lexington High School in 1912. Then I took a teacher's examination, a county examination, and in those days, if you passed the teacher's examination, you were allowed to teach in a country school. I taught 1 year in the Buck Creek Country School. I got along very well with the pupils from the third grade up to the seventh grade. I didn't have an eighth grade in my school, but I didn't know how to teach reading to the beginners. How do you teach reading? Well, some of the teachers in the neighboring schools would help me to know what to do. But I wasn't too good a teacher, and I think that those children taught me more than I taught them. You may be interested to know that my salary was $50 a month. Oh, that was a good salary, because the hired man on the farm only earned $25 a month. Well, after 1 year of teaching, I decided it was time to go to college. And I entered Eureka College at Eureka, Illinois, in the fall of 1913. I was working my way through school. I had to work for my board and room. But on Sundays, I went to the Christian church and taught a Sunday school class. Well, I just didn't teach on Sunday. I would take those boys out on Saturdays for hikes, or we would go to the college gymnasium and have the boys swim or play basketball. I was doing many things like they do in Boy Scouts today, only in that day we had no Boy Scouts in Illinois. Well, on one day I was offered a job at the grade school in Eureka to take care of the children at recess and noon to supervise the playground. Well, I told them I didn't know anything about playground recreation and that kind of thing, and the man that was offering me the job suggested that, well, we have watched you, what you've been doing with those boys on Sunday. So that gave me the idea that they knew who I was. Well, I accepted the job, but I was very fortunate to have a neighbor woman who could help me. She had been a leader of children's work in Chautauquas over the years, where the adults would go to the Chautauqua meetings and leave their children with her to lead them in play. And she taught me a number of games that could be used on playgrounds and gave me a book that was full of games. This helped me to organize the public school playgrounds at recess and noon. And the fact was, I organized a basketball team that played in the evening, and we played against some other grade schools in the area close to Eureka. Well, I graduated from Eureka College in 1917 and had a bachelor degree. During the summer of 1917, I came to Decatur and accepted a job with the Railroad YMCA to be in charge of the night school. In those days, students could quit school when they were 14 years old if they had finished the eighth grade. Many boys quit school at the age of 14 and went out to the Wabash shops to work, to become machinists. But after they'd been there a while, they discovered they could not read the reports, they could not write reports, they did not know how to do the arithmetic for the machines, and did not know how to read blueprints. This was what we were giving them in the YMCA night school. This was held at an old house in what was known as the Pines. It was the original home of Colonel Clokey. It was a 12-room house and located at the place where the Pines Shopping Center is now located. This, we had about 5 acres of ground. We had tennis courts, a baseball diamond, and a football field. Well, I was able to arrange for boys to play games, and then I had clubs at night that the boys would come together, and we would meet and play games. The arrangement with Colonel Clokey, when he gave the Pines grounds to the YMCA, the plan was that the YMCA was to build a gymnasium within 10 years. Well, Colonel Clokey died before the 10 years was up. And when the 10 years had ended, we did not have the money to build the gymnasium, and the heirs to Colonel Clokey claimed the property back. And so we lost the Pines. Well, in order to carry on the work that we had been doing with boys and girls, we moved our office to the Galloway Park. There was an old residence there, and there we kept our equipment in that old house and had a very large play area of about 10 acres. This proved to be a very successful program, and we were carrying on with over 100 boys and about the same number of girls. One day I met the county judge. Now, they had county judges in those days, but they do not have county judges today. The county judge was the person who saw the boys who were in difficulty or had some problems in regard to their life. And Judge McCoy saw me one day and said, "Since you started that playground and recreation program out there on the east side, we do not get so many boys in court as we used to get. That the work that you have been doing with those boys, the recreation program, has kept them interested, and they do not commit the difficulties that bring them into court." Well, I thought if it's good for the east side of Decatur, it would be good for the west side, the north side, and the south side. So I contacted the president of the city PTA council and asked him if they would help me raise money to open up other playgrounds in other parts of the city. They agreed to do that. And they went down on the streets in Decatur, on Water Street and Main Street, and sold tags to people to raise money for these playgrounds. They raised enough money for us to open four parks, the playgrounds to be supervised by trained people that would help them to start their playground recreation programs and get them interested in doing things and not getting into trouble. Well, one day I met Jim Galloway, who was president of the Decatur Park District, and he said to me, "Don't you ever go down on the streets again and sell tags for playgrounds. That is a disgrace to the city of Decatur, and we don't want that disgrace against our parks." This floored me, and I said, "Well, we wanted to operate those playgrounds for those boys and girls to help them have a program that will keep them out of trouble." And Mr. Galloway said, "You tell us how much money you need, and the park board will furnish us the money." Well, this was the starting of the playground and recreation program of the city of Decatur, and I'm known as the father of the recreation and playground program. Let me say that one of the biggest jobs, or the best things I did in the recreation program, was to hire Frieda Combs, who served for 40 years as the girls' recreation, for the girls' recreation program in Decatur. And the Frieda Combs building is named for her. Well, this was not such a good job for me. The salary wasn't enough to take care of my family. And during about 1924, a teacher at Roosevelt Junior High School got married. And in those days, a teacher who was married could not hold a job. So this made a vacancy in the school, and they offered the job to me. Well, this was to teach science, and that was what my major was in college. And I accepted the job, and I served at the Roosevelt Junior High School for 35 years. Well, I taught for a year and a half as a regular teacher, and then I was called into the superintendent's office, and the superintendent asked me if I would consider being assistant principal at the school. And I said to him, "No." I said, "Those other men that are teaching there have been there for 3 or 4 years, and for me to go around them would cause a lot of trouble with them." And he said there was not another man who was a college graduate teaching at the school. And when I began to check upon the teachers, what was their training, out of 36 teachers, only 12 of them had degrees from college. Well, I accepted the job, and I served as assistant principal for 18 years. And after the 18 years, one weekend, the principal died suddenly on Saturday night, and I was notified that he was gone. I was raised to the position of principal and served in that position for 15 years. This made a total of 35 years I served and I retired in 1958. May I say that the school board paid me for working at Roosevelt School. They didn't know that I would have paid them to let me work there. I enjoyed the work that I was doing. I had a wonderful group of boys and girls, and I had a wonderful group of parents who backed up the school. And we had no problems with colored people. The fact was that the boys, in choosing up a baseball team, would choose one of the black boys who was such a good ball player. They would choose him before they'd choose one of the white boys. Now, the schools in those days were somewhat different than they are today. I remember back in the early 30s, about 1932, we were in a period of a very serious depression, and the school ran out of money to pay salaries. They were going to have to wait until the June tax were paid so that they'd have enough money to pay salaries. They issued warrants to the teachers for their salary that they could hold until enough money came in that they could cash the warrants. The week before school was out, they sent a notice out that they were going to have to close the school the following Tuesday. They could not run till Friday, as the law did not permit them to issue any more warrants. The teachers called a meeting, and they agreed to teach the school, to finish the school for that week without salary. This indicated the kind of teachers we had in that day. They were interested in the welfare of the boys and girls and not in the paycheck. They wanted those boys and girls to get the training that could be had in the public schools, and they were doing a top job. I feel that those teachers were dedicated teachers. It may be of interest to you to know that in 1934, I called a meeting of the representatives from the various denominational churches. We met in the old Central Church on the corner of Edward and William Street. There were about 8 or 10 churches represented. And at that meeting, they decided that we ought to organize a church council. And this is what they did. And I was elected president of the first church council. This operated for a number of years, carrying on an education program with the public schools until a law was passed that prevented them from carrying on that program in the public schools. But they did continue to operate as a church council and is still operating, but under the name CODA, C-O-D-A, which stands for Churches of Decatur Area. I'm happy to know that our churches can work together and help unite our people in the church work that needs to bring us together and put on such programs as the evening services that are held in Fairview Park, and also the Thanksgiving service that's held every year here in Decatur. I was working on my master's degree at the University of Illinois, and I received my master's degree in 1945. I was awarded an honorary Doctor of Laws degree from Eureka College in 1955. In the year 1957, they completed building an elementary school that was across the road and about a half a block north of where I lived. One night I was visiting at my neighbor's home, and in those days where I lived, I was out in the country, and we had a country telephone with about three or four neighbors on the same line. But each neighbor had his own ring, such as two longs and one short, or two shorts and two longs. This indicated which family was being called on the telephone. While I was at my neighbor's home, I heard my telephone ring, and I answered my telephone, and Mr. Grant, the superintendent of the public schools, said he wanted to call me and tell me that the new school was to be named the Muffley School. This so shocked me that when I hung up the telephone, I could not speak. And my neighbor said, "What was the matter? Did somebody die? Somebody hurt? What is your trouble?" Finally, I told him this school was to be named after me. It may be of interest to you to know that a little boy in the second grade over at the Muffley School asked his teacher, "Was Mr. Muffley named after the Muffley School?" Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting. You may be of interest to know some of the organizations to which I belong and which I am interested in working. I'm a member of the Kiwanis Club, and I've been very much interested in the work the Kiwanis Club does in helping to support the playgrounds and the recreation program in Decatur. The fact is, one playground is called the Kiwanis Playground, and another playground is called Senoik, which is Kiwanis spelled backwards. I'm very much interested in working with that organization. I'm also a member of the Mental Health Association. I've been very much interested in the work that they do. The fact is, the Mental Health Association is the organization that helped to bring the Mental Health Center to Decatur and start the work that is being done to help people with mental health problems. I'm a member of the Illinois Arthritis Foundation Board, and from time to time I attend the meetings in the state office at Peoria. I'm very much interested in helping to raise money for the Arthritis Foundation. That part of the money is used locally to help people that need materials to help them get around, wheelchairs or crutches and things that way. But I'm interested in the funds that go into the national fund that's doing research And one day, I hope we break through and find a cure for arthritis. That I'm looking forward to. I'm a member of the Council of Social Agencies and Senior Citizens. These organizations have been working to help the senior citizens in the problems that confront them. I'm a member of Retired Teachers Association, and I'm a member of the Retired Teachers Association, the organization that's working for passing laws to improve the pensions for retired teachers. I serve on some of the committees. I'm an elder of Central Christian Church, and I serve on several committees for the church. The fact is, we have a 5-acre farm of which I manage, and this we expect to build a church out there someday, but right now I have it rented to a farmer. I serve on a number of committees for the church. Well, I do a number of other things. For instance, I have an acre of ground where I live, and I mow my own yard, and I have a large garden and raise vegetables, which I honor the parent, the neighbors. I give them squash and tomatoes and help them to live. A number of honors have I received, and for which I'm happy. I was appointed by the Decatur Council of PTA, a life member of the National PTA. I was granted an honorary award from the Arthritis Foundation in 1955, and in 1955 at the national, at the local meeting of the Mental Health Association, I was granted the Bell Honor. Well, this will give you some ideas of how I keep going, so that although I'm 84 years old right now, I'm still active and trying to do my part as a good citizen in the city of Decatur. Well, I think I better stop now.
Thank you very much, Dr. Muffley. You're really an inspiration to all of your listeners. You may say you're 84, but I'm sure if anyone could see you, and of course all of those who hear all of your many accomplishments, we know that that's just a delusion, that you probably are really only in your 60s, if that. So we really do admire your activities, and thank you for all that you have contributed to the city of Decatur, to the young people who have lived here. And we especially thank you for coming down to record your experiences and your observations. You have been listening to the views and experiences of Dr. E.J. Muffley. This is Betty Turnell speaking.